It's so nice to see both old and new faces. Reverend Francis, thank you so much for the opportunity to be here. Pastor Nii, thank you so much. Pastor Bolu, thank you so much. And the entire leadership and membership of the church, it's so great to see everyone. My heart is so full of joy. You know, it's interesting when you are the one who is in a place, you cannot see the good things around, and it takes a visitor to come and point it out and say, what you have is fantastic. When the church first moved to this place, you know, Reverend Francis sent me the pictures, and maybe because we've been in ministry for a while, we have seen many things. You know, I was so excited, but other people may not be like, what is it? It wasn't even like this. He just sent me these pictures, and all I see is potential. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's like where I live personally in my home. When I first saw it, and I said to my wife, let's buy this house, like, where is the house, you know, and things like that. And then at a time later, and I tell her, don't you want to go out? Don't you want to visit your friends? Don't want to go somewhere? She's like, no, I'm happy in my house. Somebody who didn't even want to step in there before. So what we're saying is, I'm so excited. I'm so happy to see what I see here today as a church, as everybody who is a member here, who is a leader here, who is a supporter and a friend one way or the other. You know, well done. God bless you. You've done a great job. This place is looking great. It looks very different from how it looked at the beginning. Yes, let's put our hands together. And you know, that's how visionaries do. Pastor Bolu started taking me around, you know, earlier showing me things. You know, things that you cannot see with the human eye, but you can see with the eye of the Spirit. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. We're going to do this. You know, that's what leaders do. Hallelujah. And that's why one of the key things that I'm going to be saying today is simply that: follow the leader. You know, I mean, we'll get into the heart of what we have. We're going to have a great time. Don't worry. We're going to have a great time. We'll leave maybe at 8 p.m. What do you mean? I came all the way from South Africa to be here. So stay till 8. No, never mind. One of the key things I'm going to be saying, and you can write that down, is follow the leader. And that is something that has been very difficult, especially in our movements. Historically, if you know, because number one, people do not recognize their leaders, not to talk about following them or what they say. But I want us to, in this church, to change that narrative, because many times we cannot see what the leader has already seen long time. You can see this floor, but the leader can see carpets or tiles or something beautiful. You can see the roof. The leader can see suspended ceilings with lights and air conditioning. He has seen that already. You cannot even see that. So when the leaders are saying, let's do this, and you are not following, it delays. I'm going to say many things that sound very religious today, but just bear with me. I will explain them so that you see that they are not religious. They are very worded and scriptural. Amen. For lack of a better word, I'll come up with a better explanation. That's why when the leaders say, do this, and you follow, you accelerate the process of arriving at the required destination. Yeah, that's a better way. I wanted to say, you get to your destiny better. Hallelujah. We know the redemption in Christ Jesus took care of our supernatural destiny. Our destiny is secure in Christ Jesus. It's a good place. The Bible says the lines are falling onto us in pleasant places. We have a goodly heritage. For I know the thoughts and the plans that I have for you. They are of good, not of evil. Hallelujah. Right before I formed thee in thy mother's womb. And that was fulfilled in redemption. In the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus on the cross. Of Christ on Calvary's cross. God secured and sealed a good destiny for us. Not just a good destiny, the perfect destiny. Not just a perfect destiny, His will, His purpose, and the complete essence of what He had for us. So the believer's place is not, or the believer's responsibility is not chasing after destiny. You have entered into God's divine plan and purpose for your life. And the earlier you accept that and receive that and walk in the reality of that, it becomes easy. So that's not what I'm talking about. Do you get what I'm saying now? What I'm talking about when I talk about a destiny or a destination is a desired outcome. We can see. In fact, the ground was not like this. What was here? There was oil and it looked very rough. You guys were meeting up there. But what I see here is not what I saw in those pictures. I can almost not believe it. Therefore, the earlier we follow the leaders, the faster we arrive at the desired outcome. That is why a good leader, one of the characteristics of good leadership is casting vision. You know, as I throw out some of these nuggets, just write them down. Everything will make sense at the end, trust me. Casting vision. Now I'm talking to us as leaders because this is a workers' retreat, isn't it? So I'm talking to us as leaders or workers or potential leaders or people who are joining hands together with the leadership to move this church forward. Is it not so? Maybe before I jump in, have I greeted everybody?
Yes.
I greeted Reverend Francis, Pastor Ni, Pastor Bolu, their wives, all the leaders, all the workers, all the members, all protocols observed. Did I pray? We prayed already. Can I pray again? Let's bow down our heads. Thank you, Father. Father, teach us, Holy Spirit, teach us. As we enter your word, as we unpack this truth, teach us. Let us be instructed that we may fulfill that which you have called us to do. Not just generally, but specifically in the Grace Community Church. That we be accelerated in our work and we arrive at the destination much faster. That we receive strength to bear up with wings like eagles. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. That is why, as I was saying, one of the key responsibilities of a leader is to cast vision. Now, the pastors of this church, they must teach the word. They must counsel. They must help us. If people are getting married, they must do marriage. They must do, okay, well, if need be, funerals and so on and so forth. They must help the poor. You understand? They must attend. You have needs. They must be pastors. They must be shepherds. But one of the key responsibilities beyond all of that is to cast a vision. To say, this is where we are going. Because if a leader is not showing you where you are going, where are you following to? Now, there's part of the time when you are not sure, but you still have to follow. That's where I'm coming to. So that's what I want to say. One of the key responsibilities is to cast vision. And one of our key responsibilities as members, and I will change that word members, you will see how gradually we will stop saying church members. We will start saying disciples in the grace community. Because these are two different sets of characteristics. We used to want members. You know, 10,000 member church. Now we want disciples. And I will go into all that. Because there's a difference. And each one of us must decide what category we fall into. Because it is easy. Somebody say it's easy. It's easy to come here. When the carpet is there, the projectors are here, there's air conditioning, this place is full. First service, second service, things are happening all over. It's easy to join, isn't it? It's easy. Anybody can do that. Even unbelievers, everybody joins in. Hallelujah. But it is more difficult at the beginning. Is it not so? It's more difficult at the beginning. But what does the Bible say? Do not despise the days of what? Little beginnings. Why? Why? Because the end of a thing is declared from the beginning. Never mind the end. The Bible says, better is the end of a thing than the beginning. But the concept he's trying to say is that the objective which you will get at the end is determined from the beginning. If you want to build a house and you want it to be 6 floors, is the foundation going to be like this? No. The foundation will be deep. So, the beginning is when you do the work. Many people are excited at what happened. You know, as leaders, people do not understand. We are not excited of the when the paparazzi and the effigy is there. Because the leaders knew already. Hallelujah. How many people were members or part of this church before moving to this place? Amen. Thank you. When you see, when people come around and there's 1,000 people here, it's easy. In fact, people will be coming. Some people can drive all the way from Abuja or fly down and say, I'm coming to TGC on Sunday. Because when they walk in, there's 1,000 people. It's exciting. Is it not so? But the leaders could see that 1,000 people before moving into the dusty, abandoned warehouse. So when you are discouraged at that thing, it means you're not a bad person. No, there are many reasons. But one of the major reasons is because you cannot see the end. And we do not blame you. The leader can see the end. So until you can see the end, what should you do? Criticize the leader? I can't hear you. Abandon the movement? No. What must you do? Follow the leader. It's so simple. Follow. You know the church what he was talking about? Where a pastor and there were about 9,000. We actually grew to about 15,000 in one location at a time. We planted over 35 churches in that place during the time I was there. Personally, me and my wife planted 4 of those churches. And they grew. We grew from about 18 people to over 2,000. In less than, I mixed the numbers. We grew from just about 15 people to over 2,000 in less than 18 months. Now, it wasn't always like that. I'm going to give an example. We're putting up a building, trusting God for a building. And then the land was there. They had put up the pillars. Then they put up the roof. It was an exciting thing. A company came. They had these trucks. They put up the roof. We had pictures and videos. It was wonderful, very expensive. Guess what happened? We were having church in another warehouse, kind of like way up the street. And then that place we called it the village. It was like our permanent site where we had this auditorium, 9,000 seater auditorium, the biggest purpose built auditorium in that area of the country. Beautiful with gallery and everything. So the roof was put up, nice steel structure. We're running two services at a massive warehouse down the place on Sunday. I was on stage, I was doing the MC and everything. At times I'll preach, but that particular Sunday I wasn't preaching. I did the MC. I gave the senior pastor the mic, then he was preaching. Sometime in the middle of the second service, somebody rushed and called me. You know, what? I went to the car, went to the permanent site. The roof that had just been installed with the steel trusses and everything, the whole thing just collapsed. I mean, it was a disaster. That was discouragement. But what does the Bible say? The Bible says David did what? He encouraged himself in the Lord. Now, the question was, who is going to tell the senior pastor? I thought if I tell this man and he collapsed, who's going to be responsible for this? All the other pastors, everybody ran away. Then I called him. I said, I want to show you something. Come. I took him in the car. I said, look, Mfundis, I mean, pastor, just relax. Take it easy. Whatever I say to you, just take it like that. He said, what do you mean? I said, look, that's what I'm saying. I said, just relax. He's looking at me like, what's wrong with this boy? We drove him there. He saw the thing. I could see. You could see the pain. Then he said to me, no problem. He says, take the pictures. He took pictures. We did everything. And he encouraged himself in the Lord. I think during the break, I will show you the pictures of that church today. Hallelujah. Let me see. How many people know, I don't know, House on the Rock? It's bigger than that. It's beautiful like that. Not just that, it's a complex. We've got schools, sports centers, clinics, feeding schemes. It's massive in that place. From a roof that was collapsing. So, the leader can see. Until you can see, just follow the leader. That is the foundation of what I want to talk, or what we're going to be dealing with today in this waters retreat. We're going to do it very simply. I'll look at the time. Pastor Bolu will help me with the timing. But I want us to have a session, a breakout, break, then a session, you know. We'll just do it quickly like that. I'll try not to make the sessions very long so that we can keep it punchy and exciting and it's easy to retain the information. Is that not so? Thank you. Nice to see you, Pastor Wiley. Thanks. And family, thanks for joining us. Faithfulness in ministry. I want to discuss this under several subtopics. There are many things to discuss, but we're going to be looking at stewardship. Somebody say stewardship. We're going to be looking at discipleship. These are ships. We're going to be looking at least two things and two ships. Stewardship and discipleship. We're going to be looking at missionality and loyalty. Missionality and loyalty. And then we're going to be looking at something else, which I'll describe later. Amen. Are we ready? Okay. Open your Bibles quickly to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. We read that place before. Let's open our Bibles quickly to it. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. From the King James Version. It says, let a man so account of us as ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Are we there? 1 Corinthians. Okay, we can see it. Moreover, it is required. Somebody say required. Are we good? Somebody say required. Does it say suggested? Are we together? You know, let's move closer. Those sitting at the last row, just move a bit closer. I want this thing to be, you know, nice and interactive. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, move closer. I like you to move. Yes, you are good like that because you are encouraging me a lot. Every time I talk, you know, you acknowledge. So that's a very good attitude. In fact, we'll be talking about these things, you know. Thank you so much. Everyone is doing the same thing. Yeah, that's nice. It is required. Tell someone required. Does it say suggested? Sorry, ma'am, can you give us another version? Apart from King James, choose one of your choice and put it there. Put one that is there. Let's hope it won't disappoint us. What does that version say? It says required. Put the message, which is not a version. It's not a translation. The message is an... Yes, like an adaptation. Can be very useful. But don't use it to build doctrine. Because it's not a real translation. It's just like an adaptation, a commentary. Some people call it a transliteration. What does this say? Is that the message? Not yet. Oh, RSV. What does it say? Required. You see? The Greek word for required is required. What's the other version? Anybody has another version? What does it say, ma'am? Required. It looks like we're not running away from this word. Remember, when you want to do something, they say it is a requirement. Does it mean that it can be waived? It's a requirement. You understand? To do this program, you require so and so. To open a bank account, we require 2 passport photographs. Can you escape if you don't bring the photographs? No. Amen. In stewards, what does it say as stewards there? Does it say stewards? All right, maybe I should stay here. We're still in King James. RSV. How does it say? I like this. It is required of stewards. Amen. Thank you for that. Look at verse 4. It says, this is how one should regard us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Who are the servants there? Do you know what a servant is? Hallelujah. You know what a servant is? I didn't say a worker. A worker is different from a servant. A worker can resign. That's why we no longer want workers training. When you finish, I like it in my language. Another word for pastor, for a minister, is the word nneku. Okay, it's not my language, my wife's language. Nneku. It literally means servant. So that is the most honorable thing you can call a pastor. You say, nneku. So it's nneku ka Jehovah, or the servant of Jehovah. You understand? When you understand the concept of servant, you cannot resign. You cannot complain. You cannot demand a salary. It's not a job. It's a servant. Another word for servant is what? God bless you. Slave. Somebody say, you think we are slaves? Yeah, exactly. You got it right. So when you are not ready to be a slave, this thing is not for you. Hallelujah. I'm not saying it to discourage you.
Thank you.
I'm not saying it to discourage you. I'm talking about the attitude with which we must embrace the work. Amen. Reverend Francis, how many months have you been here now? Do you have responsibilities where you live?
Yes.
Are they severe or they are not? Are there emergencies that you should attend to? Yes. You told me about those emergencies. But he's here. Servant. No choice. No option. You will deal with the consequences later. But do you know the other thing about being a servant? Have you seen somebody serving in the master's house and it is his responsibility to provide the how can I put it? When you are serving in someone's house, it's whose house? It's the person you are serving in their house. Is it not? So ultimately, God, whom you serve, takes responsibility for you. That's why the Bible says, no man goes to war on his own account, but on the account of him who sends it. So don't worry. The person who sent you is more than capable. The problem is we cannot see it, so we do not trust. He says, don't imagine us as leaders to be something we aren't. We are servants of Christ, not his masters. Next verse. We are guides into God's divine secrets, not security guards posted to protect them, to prevent people from entering. The requirements. The requirements. Let's go back to KJV before message leads us into the wilderness. That's why I had to say before, it's not a translation. The requirements. In stewards, it is required that a man, I like that word, reliable, but we'll get there before, we'll get there later. That a man, that is man and woman, be found unfaithful. Be found faithful. Hey, hallelujah. Be found faithful. It's a very long verse. And it's a very long verse with strong implications. He says, for me, it is a small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Even me, I don't judge myself. For I know nothing by myself, yet I am not hereby justified. He that judges me is the Lord. Therefore, judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God. Who wants to have the praise of God? When he says, thou good and faithful bishop. Thou good and faithful servant. We need to be very strategic. If you are 80, 90 years old, we say, it's very old. But thou good and faithful servant is for eternity. The time we spend on this earth is too small for you not to put eternity in view. Hallelujah. Your portion now in the kingdom of God that has been allotted to you for you to serve is in this church and in this assembly, in this body at this time. In that work, it is required that you should be found what? Faithful. If you are not faithful in this, forget it. You think, no, you'll be faithful because it's a 5,000 member church. What about those who were faithful there when they were only 10? Do you understand what I'm saying? Some people are jealous and happy about big churches. Some say, I'm going to Christ's embassy. I'm leaving this place. Must we tell you how it was? Because many people see it on TV. Those of us who knew how these things were, do you know the corner they were? There in Oregon, in one corner there. You remember that place, man of God? Not the warehouse that they even bought that is beside Chris Okote. No. Some lungu there. Do you still use that word, lungu? No, what is the incorrect word? Because maybe you can see I'm old now. One corner there, where they were. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you think if Pastor Chris is preaching now, you can go and meet him and talk to him? Is it possible? Is it possible? But we used to go there. I mean, when he finished preaching, we'll go and press, that was great. We were blessed. Well, before he enters his car, when he was driving Mercedes 190E. Yeah, you can see I'm old now. Do you understand what I'm saying? What do you want those who were there when there was nothing beautiful to look at? Why are you, not you, the other people, why are you running away? Make where you are beautiful also. There is nothing that was not chaotic. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 2. And the earth was void and without form, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Some version says, and the earth became. The point is, the beauty which we see now was not there at some time. But the Bible says God was there. He says the Spirit of the Lord was over him, over the surface of the water. And God said, let there be. Do you understand where I'm going? We are co-laborers with him to bring to pass the vision that he could see. At this stage, your role and my role. Now, you might think I'm biased towards the leaders, but I'm coming. Your role and my role is not what are they preaching? What is the content? Yeah, there's a part we must be careful what we're hearing, but what I'm saying is, my role is not interjecting into their pastoral ability. The question we should be asking is, what is the vision? Where are we going? How can we help? What can we do? What do you require? require of us. And when it is a requirement, it is not a favor. The people who do ministry with me and think they are doing me a favor, I let them go quickly. It's not a favor. You are fulfilling your own role that was allotted to you by God in heaven. How many people planned? You know why I don't abuse Nigeria? No, don't get me wrong. I can abuse the government and some of these things. But the country, because I used to be so upset. Then God said to me, it's not a mistake that you were born when you were born, where you were born, to whom you were born, in the circumstances where you find yourself. Then I started to understand. There is a bigger purpose at stake. I must play my own role as it has been allotted to me. And in playing that role, it is a requirement that I must be found faithful. Hallelujah. It's difficult, yes. It's not easy, yes. The road is bumpy, yes. Hallelujah. God is aware. Why do you think? You must ask strategic questions. Why do you think you are here at this time? Why do you think this church is here at this time? Why? Do you think, I don't know, have you been given the history? Pastor Bolu, Pastor Nui, Pastor Wadi, have you given the history? How that more than 10 years ago, this church was meant to start a congregation in this area. How many people are aware of that? Amen. MOJ, how many people used to come from this area to Ogba? Between 20 and 30 people every Sunday. More than 10 years ago. You just gather in a bus anywhere they can go to attend service. 10 years later, we are here. Don't you think God has a purpose? His purposes are never frustrated. The question is, are you willing to be part of that journey? Because when the glory appears, it's easy to be part of it. But are you going to be part of those who make that glory appear? Because they are the ones that will receive the reward. God is not unrighteous, the Bible says, to forget your labor of love. Did he say God is not unrighteous to forget your contribution of love? He says what? Labor. What does labor mean? What's the Greek word for labor? What's the Greek word for labor? You should know my jokes by now. What's the Greek word for labor? Labor. Someone said, that word in the original Greek is labor. There's a difference between work and labor. It is work when you are just, moving a few things. It is labor when you are sweating. You are pushing your buns. That's labor. Ask a woman why they call it labor. Hallelujah. Is somebody going to be in labor very soon around here? Sometime. Amen. You need to ask why they call it labor. Don't be afraid. We found a way around it. Can just do caesarean section and escape. I remember the first lady I had to attend to her labor. Me and her, we labored together. She was sweaty, I was sweaty. She cried, I cried. I was afraid, she was afraid. It was her first pregnancy. She was young, I was young. They left me there to monitor that labor. 18 hours. I was afraid. When the baby came, there was joy. I was happy too. More than the father. I was rejoicing. My God. I felt every contraction, I can assure you. Because the woman held me. I had to say, I'm not responsible. So it's labor. Not unrighteous, forget our labor. I'm just setting the foundation. And then we'll break out into a session. Matthew 25. Yeah, I believe 14. Let's see what it says. Matthew 25:14. Are we there? This is a very popular scripture. It tells the story. It goes all the way to verse 30. We can read it all, but let me just give you the background. A man was traveling and he called his servants. And he gave them talents. Somebody say talents. What does the message say? Okay, wait. Yeah, he gave them talents according to their ability. Somebody say ability. We all have different abilities. Nobody is asking you, sir, to replace his own ability. Nobody is asking you to replace my own ability. No. The one he gave you, he wants you to maximize it, use it. That contribution is what we need. A pastor that is not performing at 100% of his ability is less useful. That, you know, I don't like giving these examples because we mistake it. You know, at times somebody say, I was just an ordinary usher. What is ordinary about being an usher? If I'm preaching and there's no usher, do you think the service will go well? The pastor's role is important. The usher's role is important. We are both serving the master. So what I'm trying to say is everyone must perform. Somebody who is ushering to 100% of his capability is more productive in the kingdom than a pastor that is doing 60%. Because that job given to us in delivering the service, the master requires that in stewards we must be faithful. So you have an unfaithful pastor, but a faithful usher. Who is God going to reward? That's why that scripture I read before, it says, judge nothing before the time. We might be deceived. The pastor is coming. Everybody is taking his Bible. Dude, and you think that is the one that is most favored of God. Then we get discouraged. So, what is this? I'm going to house on the rock. There's AC. Hallelujah. No. Nothing wrong with being a member there, but you are here. Be faithful here so that your reward is here. Look at what he says. He gave one 5. He gave the other one, is it 2? And he gave the last one 1. Are you in the message? Please, give me the message. Let's see, so it doesn't lead us astray, but we can pick some things from there. Then he went away. A man going on an extended trip. He called his servants together and, can you read that thing together with me? Delegated responsibilities. When you delegate, who owns the responsibility initially? No, who owns it initially? The Oga at the top. Yeah. When Tinubu appoints ministers, whose job is it to build roads for us? It's him. It's him we voted. We didn't vote for any minister. So he must not come and tell us a minister is not performing. If he's not performing, fire him and put the one that's performing. It's a delegated responsibility. Responsibility is for the Oga at the top, who is God Almighty. and he delegates it to us. It's not by choice, brothers and sisters. It's not. I love Nigeria, you know, I miss it. When I come, I learn all these funny slangs. Nigerians will tell you they play. You think this is a job? You just they play. We're going to give account. We're going to give account. Let's take it seriously. Delegated responsibilities to only get $5,000. You see, message has started this thing again. Anyway, to another 2,000, to another 1,000, depending on their abilities. Do you see that? He's not discriminating. He's not preferring one more than the other. He's not setting up anybody to fail. He just look at your ability and give you responsibility. You understand? He didn't say the reward of one will be more than the other. This is the interesting thing. Right off, the first servant went to work and doubled. Somebody say doubled. Yeah, go on, please. He doubled. The second did the same. But the man with the single, he dug a hole and carefully buried his own money. Whose money? You see, that's the problem. I'm going to house on the rock. There's AC there. Must we tell you the story of House on the Rock? Because we see all these beautiful things you don't know. When they were raising the money, you didn't contribute, but you want to go to the air condition now. When they were raising the money, you think, no, they are rich. The money just appeared. I have an uncle. He was a key member there. They appointed them. Some were called pillars. Say to me, pillars. Some were called pile drivers. You know what pile driver? That is the kind of money you have to put in. That man today now, even his own home, he has sold it. He doesn't have. It's a sacrifice. You will now go there, be enjoying the AC, despising where God put you. Somebody lost his house to become a pile driver. Do you understand what I'm saying? Serve where you God has planted you. At least we know you here. We can call you by name. We can rejoice. They say, even this place, it can become 10,000. Even here, if that's God's purpose. But it's not about that. It's about faithfulness. We can enjoy this ministry together. I will break now. He says, he buried his master's money. That is what angered the master. It's not your money. This life is not your own. Whose life is it? It is no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. And the life that I live even now, I live by the faith of the Son of God who died and gave himself for me. How many of us, Bible says, how does it say? How many of us by labor can add a second to our lives or anything? Can we do it? As you grow older, you begin to discover your fallibility. The Bible talks about Samson. He says Samson thought he will arise as at other times. But when his hair was cut, he arose. And he knew not that the spirit had left. What am I talking about? We used to think we're invincible. And we're still invincible. But what I mean is, I was younger. We would move. We would do the thing. Friday till Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. We are laboring. Emoji, can you labor like that anymore? The desire is there, but the body is not there. It's not our own. Somebody borrowed us. Well, thank God he gave it to us. But what I'm trying to say, Bible says, teach us to number our days. It's a gift. It's not yours. You can't forget. It's a lie. Forget it. You can't. Oh, God. Look, don't get me. Ah, are you recording this thing? We must edit it. This internal gist. I walk by faith. I trust God. We will live long with long life. Will it satisfy me? We say it, we repeat it, we own it. As much as we do that, and I believe it, trust me, none of us can add a second. It's not our life. We didn't create it. We didn't. No matter how you gesticulate, and you cannot create nothing. That's the difference. God is God all by himself. That means what? It is a gift that he has given to us. It is his. The life belongs to him. Why will you bury it? Why will you bury it? Hallelujah. The Bible says heaven rejoices at the sound of one person who gets saved. Is that rejoicing better when they get saved in Elevation Church with air conditioning, or when they get saved here? Is rejoicing more? No, God doesn't judge like that. What am I saying? They are laboring there. You are here. You must be found faithful. Where? Here. Simple. It's faithfulness. There's no comparison. There's no all these petty struggles that are unimportant. Yes, your labor might be more. Everybody has his own problems. Do you remember? You know, we're talking family meeting now. I want to debunk our minds so that we can settle down and say we are here. Where are the pastors? Please come forward. Not you, Reverend Francis. You are a father. Eh? Hallelujah. You see? You see? The problem is, we will see the leaders God has put for us. We will sidestep them, and we'll be looking at other leaders, not knowing that it is the followers of those other leaders, through the honor, the obedience, and the followership that they give to them, that places them where they are. But we abandon the ones God has put in front of us to go. It's not even that we are following there. We just have this kind of human frailty. Do you understand where I'm going? Hallelujah. Let me not finish yet. Let's tell these stories so that you can understand. Tell me, is my session over? Okay. The second session won't be as long. Don't worry, we'll finish. Reverend Francis will remember, many years ago, there was a pastor who was sent to Lagos by his senior pastor to plant a church. He was very slim like this and was still talking to some young guys trying to build that church. We were invited to a meeting, and we had the opportunity to sit with him after to discuss. And he desired that we should join him to assist him to build that church. He was slim like this. He had a tie. We were sitting on benches outside. Should I tell you that pastor? Reverend Sam Adeyemi. So, you know, let's tell you some of these stories. You won't believe. So what I'm saying is, the people following him, laboring with him, giving sacrificially, working hard, being faithful, that's what produces the beauty that you see, that you are desirous of, and running away from the ones that God has put in front of us, who in some years' time, other people will start abandoning their own pastors to follow them. do you know what I'm saying? It's a funny thing, because just a cycle you can see repeating itself. They have been given responsibility for leadership. Their responsibility is to guide, to pastor, but the key responsibility, okay, is to cast vision. Maybe they cast vision from Reverend Francis, they discuss it. He has cast vision generally. He will be off to the United States, where he has assignments there. He will be off to Kenya, where he has assignment there. They have assignment here. When we follow, the assignment is achieved faster, quicker. Do you understand what I'm saying? The air conditions appear faster. The beautiful church comes faster. The crowds, they come quickly. The more time we are fighting, dragging, disobeying. And as I said, pick that chair. Say, what is the Greek word? Say, no. That's not the doctrine. That's why I don't. I tell people straight. The Greek word for pick that chair is pick that chair. Period. Let's get the thing done. When there's air condition here, this place is beautiful. We can be talking Greek from now till tomorrow. There's time for that. You get what I'm saying? It's very important. These are the leaders the Lord has put here. We can't run without leadership. It's not possible. Somebody can say, why is it not me? Yeah, it's a valid question. Let's ask the master. I don't know why. That is not the question for now. It's valid. We can, hey, hallelujah, let me calm down. When we get to heaven, you just lock Jesus Christ. Say, why not me? It's valid. He will answer. Hallelujah. He will answer. But now, what must we do? We follow. In stewards, a man, please take your seat, sir. Thank you so much. And then I'll be rounding up. In stewards, a man must be found faithful. He gave them talents. Let's go on. Let's read on. When he came back, the one giving 5,000 showed him how he doubled it. Next slide. His master commended him. Good work. You did my job well. Whose job? Your job. It's not Reverend Francis' job. It's a Pastor Bolu's church. I don't like that their church. It's your church. Own it. Anyway, it's God's church. That's what I mean. And then he says, you did your job well. From now on, be my partner. That's the point. When we are laboring, we thought we were servants without rights, without benefits. We did not know all the while he was setting us up for partnership. When it's like you are working for Bill Gates or Dangote or somebody, you are cursing him every day. You didn't know that when he comes back, he is about to make you partner. That is it. That's why Bible calls us fellow laborers. Joint heirs. Hallelujah. Let's move on. The second one. Next slide. Are we in the next one? Anyway, it's the same thing. Yeah, just keep going on. Yeah? The one with the two, he showed him how he doubled it. 100%, is it not? 100%. His master commended him, good work. You did your job well. From now on, be my partner. Let's go to the one I'm coming to. The one that is like many people, not those of us here, other people. Hallelujah. The other people. Verse 24 or something. Just continue. Just move down. All right. The one with the 1,000 said, Master, I know you have high standards. You hate careless ways. You demand the best. You make no allowances for error. This TGC, they're always talking redemption. They don't listen. They are too accurate. They are not friendly. They don't do this. They don't have AC. They don't have this. All right? I was afraid I might disappoint you. So I found a good hiding place and secured your money. Here it is, safe and sound to the last cent. Hallelujah. Let's go on. Many of us are like that. Not you, them, those other ones. Many of us are like that. We leave our place of primary assignment, NYSC, your place of primary assignment. We leave it. We go and chase the thing that nobody has sent us. The master was furious. That's a terrible way to live. It is criminal to live like that. If you knew I was after the best, why did you do less than the least? The least you could have been done would have been to invest the sum with the bankers so I would get my money with interest and so on. What is the punishment he gave him? Move on. Let's see what punishment he gave him. And then we try and round up. Amen. So I'm not the one that took time. It's Pastor Wiley that took time. Amen. Because the lady there was doing it nicely until Pastor Wiley took over. You see? So, praise God. Anyway, they will get there very soon now. Just let's be patient. You should have invested with the bankers. They will tell me when they're done. But the conclusion was, the master was furious. Master was angry. Master was upset. Take the 1,000 and give it to the one who risked the most. I'm not here to judge anyone. I'm not castigating people. Because I don't know the history. You know, I was not here, so I don't know nothing. I'm just speaking by the power of God. Those who are supposed to be doing the work, that are not here doing the work, the Bible says they will take away from them and give it to you. And it says it will take them, throw him out into utter darkness. Do you know what that means? Don't put your mind in hellfire. No, 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 no. I know what you preach about that here, so that's not what I'm talking about. Darkness means an absence of light, no purpose, no direction. You don't know whether you are going or coming. You are useless in the ministry. You are not making impact. You are not blessing lives. You are just enjoying AC. In a cathedral in Lekki, you just enjoying the AC. Then when you come and visit us later, you discover that we have put the AC anyway. Do you understand what I'm saying? Utter darkness, no contribution, meaninglessness. At times, some people have financial resources to be faithful. Oh God, I'll tell you a story as I close. There was one man, he was a bank manager in South Africa, big white Afrikaner man who was in charge. He could approve loans, do things. The church needed help. He would not raise a finger to assist. He told them, I'm serious. He left that city. When he came to visit, because he was a great man in the midst, he was an elder, they took him and put him in a special lounge where they keep the pastors. They were giving him refreshments. He did not see what was happening. Remember, he had left for some years. They were taking care of him. He was a big man. He did not see what's happening. Then they allowed him into the service. When they opened the door, he almost fainted. The church he despised did not help, did not contribute, did not do anything. Despite having the position where he could, when he saw the crowds, he almost had a heart attack. He was shocked that he was not ready yet. They took him to the front, introduced him. They welcomed him well because they are nice people. When the service finished, they took him towards the entrance. He didn't know what was waiting for him. They opened the door thinking he was going out. When they saw the crowd trying to come in for the second service, he collapsed. True story. I know it. I'm telling you. We put him, put fan him, water, put everything, resuscitated him. He was weeping. You know this kind of tears with mucus running down his nose? Weeping! God, I'm sorry. I missed you. I failed in my purpose. He thought this thing was dead and finished. God's work can never fail. Hallelujah. God's work can never fail. If we don't praise him, stones will praise him. Let us get a hold of the work. As difficult as it is, do it with joy. You know, it is joyful when we are together. We suffer it together. The pain is less. Amen. We were coming from camp and we had a small calamity. The car had a problem. It was painful, but it was less painful. Why? Because we were together. We were laughing, making fun. It was a difficult situation. We made fun. Hallelujah. It's the same way in ministry. You go together. The leaders are carrying a lot of pressure. Play your part. Play your part. He cast them into utter darkness. And God is so... God forgive me. I don't have the words in English. Because it's not correct. In things like that, God is so merciless. But we know God is merciful. So help me with what I'm trying to say. The implications of disobedience are dire. Even God can't help you. You just be in utter darkness. What will he do? He said, take it away from him. Give somebody else. You'll find yourself outside, looking in, wishing you had never abandoned it. Wishing. Hallelujah. That's the way it is. So today, we're talking about faithfulness in ministry. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's not about the pastor. It's about the work the Lord has given us. So we're talking about stewardship. We want to talk about discipleship, missionality, loyalty, and something else. Most of them are together. I can finish them in a few minutes. But let us stop. Take a small break. I don't know what we intend to do with the break. Do we have some refreshments or something? So what we're going to do is this, man of God, sorry. I know we want to maybe have some refreshment, but what I want us to do is kind of, let's break into two or three groups and just have a small chat. We're going to look at two things. What is God saying to you? And what are you going to do about it? So you see that I've not spoken specifically about many things. I've given a general overview about faithfulness, and I've contextualized it to where we are. Because if I just come and I preach, some big sermon on this, it's not contextualized. I can preach the same message in any church, anywhere in the world. It can be contextualized. Hallelujah. I've been a member, not a member, a disciple. Can you imagine? Let me close with this example. Ma'am, you see? The church I attended when I was in Bible school in Johannesburg had 60,000 members. 60,000, oh God, you don't understand. The pastors, I think we have like 120 pastors. It's like an army. The place is organized. If you visit me and I take you there, you see the place. You know, Rema Bible Church North in Johannesburg. The order, the organization. There are very few places in the world I've seen that. You know? How come? As a young man from Nigeria who attended Bible school there, one of my reference letters was written by Reverend Francis. The TGC logo is there for me to get admitted. There's another one written somewhere else, so one is there. How come with 60,000 members, money, structures, everything? You see where I'm going before we close. How come I was there and still, when they needed laborers to work on certain projects, for example, they were going to redo the entire discipleship process and teachings. How come I was one of the few people, less than 10, that rewrote the entire curriculum for that church? It's not about the size of the church. It's about the faithfulness of you. I was at camp and I was joking. And some people got the joke, some people didn't get the joke. I don't want you to listen to that type of music, but I just happened to hear it. How many people remember that joke? I was telling people, I say, you are not available. They know, they see you. You know that kind of thing. It's availability. 60,000 members. One guy still had to come from Nigeria to join 10 people. What were all the others, what were they doing? In stewards, a man must be found faithful. It's faithfulness. So it's not the size of the church. It's not the beauty of the place. It's not all those things. It is, are you willing to serve? You understand what I'm saying? The place where I later became a pastor, that 15,000 member church, I was the only non-South African person to have ever been in that position. I tell you about the position later. You understand? How come? Where are the other people? Where? I wasn't doing it for title, but I will be the first in church. I'll be the last to leave. Laboring, pushing, sacrificing to make the house of God worthwhile, to push the labors of the ministry while other people were having a good time. So we're going to take a break. We'll have some refreshments. We'll break into some groups. I think you can even bring your refreshments there if we're going to clean where there's church tomorrow. And normally I think you don't do that, but let's do it today, please. Yes, and discuss. What is God telling you? What are you going to do about it? Then we'll meet after. Thank you very much. Precious seed.